Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power in the
blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power in the
blood.
Well, good morning, my friend, and welcome to another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's great to be with you again today. Back in 1988, a Polish railway worker named Jan Grzebski was hit by a train. He lived, but only barely. For the next 19 years, up until the year 2007, Grzebski was in a coma. When he awoke in 2007 to a whole new world, when Grzebski had been hit by the train, Poland was a communist state, and he noted that back then meat was rationed and there was huge lines at nearly every gas station. He said there was only tea and vinegar in the shops when he had been hit by the train. But 19 years later, he awoke in a free nation where he said that there were people on the streets with cell phones and there were so many goods in the shops that it made his head spin. But something puzzled Grzebski. He says, what amazed me is all these people who walked around with their mobile phones, but yet they could never stop moaning and complaining. They had freedom. They had food. They had wealth greater than Poland had ever had for decades. And yet, when he woke from his coma, he found that all, it seemed, they wanted to do was grumble. It reminds us this morning that if you don't get into the habit of thanking God and being thankful for what you do have, you soon become ungrateful because of what you don't have. In this month of November, as we often think of it as a month of Thanksgiving, we truly have so much that we can give God thanks for. I hope you're able to stay with us this morning as we consider giving thanks to God.
There's a song in my heart today, something that I've never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
marvelous love he brings into a heart that is sad. Through darkest trials my soul just sings, oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary, worn, and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
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 One of the ways that we see God is good is that he listens to our prayers and cares about us. So this morning, let's take this opportunity and bring our burdens and concerns to him in prayer. Lord, we know that you are great, for we've seen you working, and the things you accomplish can only be credited to you. You are a good and loving Father to us. You have power to redeem a sinful soul, to make them a brand new person from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to spend time with our friends as we look into your word. Open our spiritual eyes and help us to be doers and not simply just hearers of your word. I pray this morning for those that are listening who are suffering from a physical ailment, for we know that you're compassionate and you see their pain, and you can be there with them and touch them and make their bodies whole, and we ask you to do it this morning. There are others who are struggling with depression or fears and sorrows that are weighing them down. And I ask that you would strengthen them today, that they feel your comfort with them. May they find you to be their burden bearer today. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast our cares upon you, knowing that you truly care for us and are ready to meet our needs. For all you do, may we be faithful to give you praise and thanks. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share a prayer request with us. That's LebanonGMC.com. Our text for today comes from Psalm 107. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. For a text, I want to go back there to verse number 1. It's kind of key for my thought for today. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, it's getting to be that time of year. It's Thanksgiving time. So today we're going to think about the giving of thanks at this time of year and the goodness of God or the worthiness of God. You know, if you think about it, we usually give thanks for what we receive of someone. We thank people who are kind to us and give us things. For many of us, as we think forward to the holidays, we think of Christmas and all the gifts that will be given then. And as a father of 4 boys and 1 little girl, it's a special time as a parent to be able to give gifts to our children and watch them enjoy those things. This morning, I trust that you know what it is to have someone who really cares about you give something to you that means so much, maybe not because of its value and monetary sense, but because they thought of you and they picked it just for you and gave it to you. Sometimes it's because it's a special event, like I said, Christmas or perhaps a birthday. But sometimes, and I think this is even more special, it's just because they want to give you something. It's nice to have someone think of you and give you something because they care about you. It's a great reminder of their love for you, of their thoughtfulness for you. For these type of gifts, it's easy to give thanks, isn't it? Because we see that they care. This morning, we thank God for what he has given us. I like how the songwriter penned the words, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. You know, this morning, we should thank God for his many blessings. For all around us, we see all the good that he has done. In fact, every good thing that we have is due to him. But what about thanking God because of what he is, rather than just what he does? The psalmist said to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It's not just because he does good things, but he is good. This tells us what God is. And also, as we stop to think about it, what we should be. In the gospel according to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, we have someone come to Jesus and approach him. And as they talk to him, this is what they say. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, or Jesus, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You know, it seems that in Scripture we see that Jesus was unique in his goodness. Even those who disliked him often recognized that he was good, and they were afraid to speak out against him because of this. Often it seems that their dislike of Jesus seems to have stemmed from a jealousy, because his goodness contrasted and often showed up the evil of their own heart. So this morning you may be asking, what does it mean to be good? Have you ever had your motives questioned? It kind of hurts, doesn't it, if you're genuinely trying to help a person and they question or kind of think that you're trying to get them or take advantage of them in some way. But it seems our world is filled with scams and people that want to take advantage of you. So I understand that for some, they're very suspicious if you try to do something for them or give them a gift because they're expecting it to require something of them. In Jesus, we see God sacrificing, feeling pain, feeling our hurts, giving himself for our sins to pay the price for the evils that we have done against him. In Jesus Christ, we find the hope of all mankind, because he has the power to cleanse from sin and to bring us into a right relationship with the God who is holy. The love of God is shown to us through Jesus, shown to mankind, and the hope of salvation is a clear danger to the kingdom of Satan. You know, Satan will use any tactic he has to get people to doubt God, to accuse God of being unjust and hateful, a tyrant of sorts. Satan accuses God of being evil. And in fact, it's the exact opposite of what God actually is. The goodness of God stands in stark contrast to the accusations of Satan. The goodness we find in God is far above the goodness of man. Equality and privilege are two things that we hear much about in politics. But if you stop to think about it, where does equality come from? It cannot be found in world religions. In every religion of the world, certain individuals and classes rank higher on the ladder of spiritual attainment. Select few are more holy and close to the divine, and they have special access and privileges. And there are many examples of horrible inequities being not only permitted, but encouraged by the foundational teachings of these religions. If you think about it, a religion such as Hinduism has a caste system and believe that certain classes are untouchables. Islam views Christians and Jews and others as subhuman and think that they are fit for enslavement or extermination. And there's much hatred. Think of the ongoing problems that are going on in the Middle East even now. And much of it comes from this mindset. Much of this thought comes from a view of God who is ruthless and unloving, a far cry from a Jesus who would sacrifice himself even for those who hate him. If you look in secular culture, it's equally evil. The idea of equality of all people likewise did not originate in a non-religious belief system. The foundation of a dominant secular worldview or evolution leads to the conclusion that some are more fit than others. Some deserve to be winners, and losers deserve to die. And by placing animals and human beings on a continuum of development, evolution has given rise to racist views that some individuals, peoples, and races are more advanced than others. And surely, in this view, it hurts the heart of God. Charles Darwin himself wrote that at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Especially because of who is going to determine who the savage race is. Satan would like us to think that our God is unjust, unkind, and unloving. But again, his accusations against God are lies. And the opposite is true. The concept of equality actually originates and is advanced in Christianity. Human religions and philosophies have never seen equality as an idea worth espousing. But the equality of all people has been essential to our faith since the very beginning. The Bible teaches us that everyone equally bears the image and likeness of God in creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The goodness and the righteousness of God far outshines any other who claims to be good. And it's a direct repudiation of Satan's claims that God is unjust. God is good. He's our creator. And as a result, we share an equal dignity as uniquely created beings, specially thought of, specially formed by him. As we look back to our text of Psalm 107, we see a reference to the nation of Israel as God led them out of Egypt. Here's another example of the goodness of God. Verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. What a wonderful thing that God hears the cries of his people. And for in the case of Israel, when they had become slaves in Egypt, he heard their cries, he heard their pain, and he delivered them from their bondage. Now it took 40 years for the people to enter into the promised land, not because they couldn't find the land, but because God was transforming them into a nation that trusted him. Multiple times, Israel turned their backs on God and sinned against him, but over and over again, God proved faithful to them and built a relationship with them. You know, sadly, I think we've often followed the same selfish and evil patterns as Israel in the wilderness. We've turned from what we know to be good, what we know to be right, and done what is evil, sinning against God and bringing shame upon ourselves and upon others. Romans 3:23 says it this way, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Oh, but the thought doesn't end there. It goes on in verse 24 to say, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." My friend, this morning, this is the real goodness of God. The goodness of God is shown to us as he forgives and redeems us. There's no other place we can find hope and help for eternal souls than in the mercy and the grace of Jesus. Look at all the sorrow that's around us. You know, there's much corruption and evil taking place, sadly, even here in our hometown of Lebanon. But this is because of sin. And those who follow evil desires and refuse to follow God's laws. God has made a way for sinful, fallen man to be restored, and the Holy Spirit has been given to those who will surrender to his control. My friend, this morning, you can be free from the power of sin, and you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning is the hope of every person, the Jew, the Gentile, the slave, the free, the rich, the poor, even the young and the old. Our God is good, and his love and his mercy should be characteristics that the child of God should copy with our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God doesn't just tell us to do good or to be good, but he is good. And in him we find the perfect example of what goodness truly is. And in him we find the strength and the power to walk after him, to be a reflection of his goodness in a world that truly needs something that is truly good. Oh Lord, this morning you truly are good. May we give you the thanks that you deserve. I pray for each one that's listening even now, that you would help them to understand and see the importance of obeying and following you. Lord, you see each decision that we make, and also the direction that we're headed in those decisions. Would you prick our conscience when faced with temptation? Would you open our eyes to see the truth? May we walk in your presence and in the power of your Spirit, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquity. By your stripes you have healed the sin-sick heart to be perfect in fullness. liberty. By resurrection, you are the firstborn of a race that's no longer under sin. And for all you have won, and for all you have done, Lord, we would thank you and we would praise you again. We thank thee, we praise thee, we magnify thy name. Reverently on bended knee, thy greatness we proclaim. Our Father God, our substitute, our guide and comforter, suffering all for our eternity. We thank thee. Lord, we thank you for giving us heaven. And we thank you for your grace here on earth, where in this crude shell in which Adam once fell, we can share the wondrous grace of new birth. And Lord, we thank you for sending your Spirit,
Lord, we thank you,
to comfort and to guide us in the way. But Lord, most of all, thank you for the call that affords us this chance just to say.
We thank thee, we praise thee, we magnify thy name.
Reverently on bended knee, thy greatness we proclaim.
Our Father God, our substitute, our guide and comforter,
suffering all for our eternity.
We thank thee.
That was a group from Pensacola College with a song entitled, We Thank Thee. I trust that this morning you recognize the goodness of God in your life, but if you're struggling to trust Him, or perhaps you don't know Him as your Savior, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during a regular service time at 10:30 this morning or at 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. That's lebgmc@gmail.com. It would be our delight to help you in any way that we can. And though our time for this program is coming to a close, please reach out to us. We'd be happy to sit down and talk to you if you have a need. Also, if you enjoy a good story, you should try out our Dial a Story program. You can find a new story each week by calling 717-273-4561 and listen to a story geared for children. The number again to call is 717-273-4561. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.